Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Thy Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to render our heartfelt thanks, our praises for all that Thou hast done for us individually and as a church. O Lord, we are mindful of Thy faithfulness. We are not worthy at all to be here, to call upon Thy name, and that by Thy great and wonderful mercy, through the grace that You have shown in Christ Jesus, we have come with great confidence, knowing that we have access to the throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank You, O Lord, that Thou hast preserved a remnant in this time, not only in this place, but in every part of the world, that they might carry out the preaching of the gospel most faithfully, that they might serve Thee as faithful stewards of Thy house. And we thank Thee in this regard for the witness of the BP movement, particularly those who remain faithful to that great calling it has received from their Savior. We thank You for our fathers who serve Thee and have gone beyond this world into Thy glorious presence. We remember them with thanksgiving, for Thou art the one who gave them to us, that we might have a godly tradition, particularly a godly example in the preaching and teaching of God's Word. You have taught us through the apostles, through the reformers, and through the fathers of BP movement to remain faithful to Thee. For the Lord is coming to reward His people. Truly, Lord, at Your coming, when we look at Your wonderful face, we do not want to be ashamed. We want to receive the crowns that You would place upon our head. Not that we may be proud of those things, but that we might take them and place it at Your feet in worship. O Lord, all that we are is by Thy grace, and we do remember it well at this time. And we pray that if You tarry, You will teach us to remain faithful to the end, to be fervent at all times, to lift the name of Jesus Christ, and to preach His word with utmost faithfulness. May Thy word stir our hearts this evening for the same purpose. For all this, we give You thanks and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 for this evening's meditation of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. May I invite you to join me in the reading of the scripture? 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. Let's read together. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. When I see all of you this evening, I thank our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is still a group of people who love the name of Christ and His wonderful, perfect word that we have in our hands, both inspired and preserved by the good providence of God. And you are fully aware why you are here tonight. Just as the past 3 weeks of Thanksgiving service, today also we come together to thank our blessed God for calling Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe and all those who stood with him steadfastly 60 years ago, so that from Singapore a testimony may be raised for the glory of our Savior. Not all in the tradition of BP Church remain faithful. It's a sad reality. Some are slowly sliding into terrible spiritual disaster. Some have almost reached the rock bottom. We do not want to assume that we are okay. If we are not careful, we will go the same path, maybe faster than others who have downgraded themselves before us. And so may the word of God urge us. And I pray and I ask that you would pray for me as well, that the Spirit of God would grant His servant the grace to tell you the things that He wants me to tell you tonight. That we will hear not a man's voice, but the very word of God. May God help us. Apostle Paul, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells his readers, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." It is good that all my dear brethren here should make a right account of God's servants. When Paul said, "Let a man so account of us," he was firstly referring to the apostles, the ministers of God's word, the pastors of the flock of God. "Let a man so account of us, for there are some who make a wrong reckoning as to the ministers of the gospel. Some go to an extreme because they glory in men." Well, some would say, "I belong to Paul, I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas," and so on. This is not good at all. Nonetheless, the scripture says, God's people must regard the servants of God, the ministers of the gospel, the preachers of the word, the pastors whom God has called to shepherd the flock. And if you were to rightly regard men of God who are called and appointed by the Spirit of God in the church, the right thing for you to do is to first of all be sympathetic concerning them, concerning their call and their great duty, and bring them before the presence of God and pray for them, because they are weak men. Yet they are called to bear a great responsibility upon themselves, to be ministers, or not just ministers, but ministers of Christ. That's a great calling. And they are to remember at the same time, being ministers of Christ, they ought to be stewards of the mysteries of God. Many young people like to be called ministers of the church. It has become a fashion for some to use that word to connot a high position in a community, particularly in the church. But the word minister here literally means under rowers. These were slaves who sat at the lowest level of a ship to steer the ship through the deep waters of the ocean. It was a tough work, toil, full of toil, laborious. Day and night, they would sit in that lowest level of the ship to speed the ship through the ocean. They didn't have the modern diesel engines or nuclear-powered engines of modern ship. They had to put all they got. Every sinew in their body must work. It was hard labor, stern toil, tugging away at every throw of their hand with the oar into the water, giving up every bit of the strength. And that the next attempt will be another fresh attempt of their power. Every time when they try, they give the best. No complaints. Quietly they labor. You see, what Apostle Paul teaches us is that all those who name the name of Christ, particularly those who take the name of Christ as His servants, must account themselves as servants and also the church. Not as masters, but as servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is the master in the church. He alone is the Lord. Jesus Christ alone is the King. We all are servants. Do you know, dear friends, there will never be a very low, low place for you to be as far as you are a minister of Christ. Even the lowest corner in the kingdom of Christ is a blessed place for us to be. No matter how low we have to stoop to serve our master, we must be delighted that we can do it. Every servant of Christ is called with specific design and purpose that the Master Himself has decreed according to His infinite wisdom. I cannot choose the place that I want to be. You cannot choose the place you want to be. Neither in history nor in the place within the church. It is the Lord, our Savior and Redeemer and King, who designs where we ought to be. And we should never be complaining about it. Rather, we must be happy to do our part. And we must do it with the submission and humility of an under rower. How shameful it is that today churches have leaders who like all this pomp, religious pomp, all the ceremonial garments, and all these embellishments that they like to put on. Are they not corrupting this very ministry that the Savior has passed on to us? Which the apostles have recorded for us in the scriptures. We are to be simply the shepherds of the sheep. We are under shepherds. We are the servants of the great shepherd. He not only says that let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, but also He says, as stewards of the mysteries of God. And later He says in the next verse, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Dear friends, what's the duty of a steward? Let him first of all remember he is not the master, but he is still a servant. It is the ministers of Christ who are said to be stewards of God's mysteries. In other words, if anyone were to come into the preaching of God's word or in any area of the service of the Lord's church with an attitude that is far above that of an under-rower, he cannot be a steward. You must have the humility. You must have the submission. You must have the obedience. You must have the readiness to be the meanest and the lowest for Christ's sake. Then only you can be a steward of the mysteries of God. It is not a platform for those who want to show off their brilliance. It is not a platform for those who want to show off that they have high IQ, or they got this charisma, or ability to pull people, or they have the PR abilities. The stewards of God in His church are those who are first of all servants. Under all this, but remember, when humility and submission to the great Savior comes from the heart that is full of thankfulness to the Savior, it will display itself in faithfulness. Are you a faithful steward of Christ? Whether you are a pastor or an elder or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a member of this church or another Bible Presbyterian church or any other church of Jesus Christ which remain faithful, let me ask you, are you a true steward of the mysteries of God? What are the mysteries of God? Those are the things that were once hidden, but now revealed in Christ Jesus, that He is the Savior of mankind. There is no other Savior but Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven among people that can save us but the name of Christ. And we must be happy ministers and stewards of that great mystery. We must go into the ends of the earth to preach that truth. First of all, let's ask this question. How are we stewards? How are we going to exercise our calling as stewards? We are appointed by God. We have not appointed ourselves into His kingdom. Our salvation is 100% from the Lord. We are called by Him to be saved. We are saved that we might serve Him. And each one of us have a place in God's kingdom. We are made members of Christ's body, the church. We are baptized into His body by the Holy Spirit. And so we have to prove ourselves to be good stewards. How are we going to do this? It's not an easy job. I read a story of a pastor who was a shepherd for about 20 years before he received the call from the Lord to be a pastor. One day, another pastor friend of his asked him, which was the easier flock to manage? Was it the first group of sheep or this group of sheep that belongs to the Lord, namely the church? He said the second flock of sheep was a deal more sheepish than the first. What the pastor was trying to say is that a lot of people in the church are not interested of God's work. It's harder, much harder to look after them sometimes. Will it be said of us that we are like sheep that go astray? Or will we be like the sheep that hear the voice of the Master and follow Him? Jesus says, my sheep heareth my voice. Dear friends, in order to be good stewards, let's take note. We must ever be ready to take our order from our God. A steward is a servant who is faithful. His predominant thought in his mind is, what does my master want me to do? What did he say? What did he command me to do? Do you listen to your Savior? Do you pray daily, Lord, teach me thy way. What wilt thou have me to do? I am thy servant. What wilt thou have me to do? This must be the prayer of every pastor. This must be the prayer of every elder, every deacon, and every member of the Church of Jesus Christ. We must be asking, Lord, what wilt thou ask me to do? Show me the way. If you have no ear to hear what your Savior has to say, how can you be faithful as a steward? Sisters, you must ask, Lord, what shall I do in my home? In the kitchen of my house. What will you want me to do? Children must ask, what shall I do, O Lord, for you in my school? Members of the church must ask, Lord, in the church and outside the church, what will you want me to do? Every elder and deacon must ask the same question. They must commune with God both in prayer and the meditation of His Word. This is where we have all the instructions. This is where we hear the voice of our God. I wonder whether Bible Presbyterians do read their word, the Word of God daily. Do the Bible Presbyterians read the Bible every day? If not, how can they be good stewards of God? I think one of the things that happened to Bible Presbyterian Church is that many, including leaders, did not hear the voice of their God in His Word. They read too many other books, maybe too many commentaries, maybe too many critical books. And they want to agree with all of the voices, but the voice of their own Savior. That's the trouble we have today. Too many is hurrying to stand together with the voices, intelligent voices of this world. Many are rather sheepish when it comes to saying the same words what our God has said and recorded for us in the Scriptures. If you were to ask some, is the Bible perfect? Will the Bible continue forever? Is the Word of the Lord one that endureth forever? Well, depends what Bible you are talking about. Or it depends which language Bible you are talking about. Do we got a Bible that we can say it's Bible? A lot of people are muddled up here. They're not listening carefully. The Lord promised that His church will have His word intact. That is not very sure in these days. That is not fully believed, it seems. I must say, a special word to all my esteemed co-laborers in the preaching of God's Word. What Paul says here is first and foremost about us, that we who are called to be preachers of God's Word must be under rulers for Christ's sake. Not exalting ourselves about what He says, but saying with utmost faith what He said, so that we might be stewards of God's mysteries. I do not know how a pastor can ever be faithful if he is not sure whether the Bible is perfectly God's Word. I really don't understand. Do you know, dear friends, it's not our opinions that save sinners. It is not our opinion that edifies the people of God. It is not our eloquent expression of our ideas that prepare people for the kingdom of Christ. It is God's Word that saves, and not our comment on God's Word. It is a terrible day. It is an evil day when preachers of the church start to think that our thoughts are to be given out in the house of God instead of the Master's thoughts. A great disease has come upon us because preachers think their comment on God's Word is more important than the very words of Christ Himself. Even though Jesus said, one jot or one tittle shall not pass away, they want to say, oh, jot and tittle do not mean exactly portions of a letter or a letter, but it means small doctrines. But how can you have doctrines without words and words without letters? If God wouldn't preserve His letters, we wouldn't have sound words, because we are commanded to hold fast sound words. How can we have doctrines, sound doctrines, without words being preserved? You may, in derision, say, what is this thing going on in BP movement? VPP? Not a few men have come up to me and say, the whole problem is this terrible thing called VPP. I can believe VPI, but I can't believe VPP. Did Jesus say VPP? They ask. But if you ask them, did Jesus say VPI? They will smile. That's okay. It simply means verbal plenary preservation. That's exactly what Jesus said. That's exactly what the apostles said, that every word will be preserved because it will endure to the end. God has given it its power to endure to the end. I don't have to answer every intelligent person, every seminarian. I don't have to give an answer to every scholar of the world. That's not my calling. My calling is to preach what my Savior has taught me to preach. Not what the philosophers and seminarians and great men of this world would tell me to do. They can have their minions to do that. But let every man so account of us that we are ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. For that if you would call me and my fellow brethren fools, then we shall rather die as fools, because we said exactly what Jesus said. Blessed be His name. If we are unworthy for the scholars of this world, then let it be so. We are not ashamed of it. But let not any man think that we are a group of people can be hired with their money to say what they want us to say. We are not for sales. Because our souls are purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And nothing is more precious for us than defending His word. Even if the church would take another 1,000 years to understand what we say, we shall wait even in our grave. Because we do know one thing. The word of God is power. It is alive. It can convict God's people. But someone has to say, in this time, let everybody account of us as God's servants and the stewards of His mysteries. But if we won't say it, what a shame. What are we then standing here for? What are we then sitting here for? Blunders. Terrible blunders have been brought in God's church. When pastors, preachers, theologians, churchmen started to tear asunder the Word of God and started to give their comments. Blunders. So our duty, dear friend, as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, is to do exactly what our Savior has said. That is to say, preach what He has said faithfully. Preach the word. We are not here to corrupt the word of God. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 2:17. This is a passage that we read in responsive reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We are not like many. Even in the time of the apostles, there were so many who were going about and corrupting the word of God. He's not talking about people in the market of wrestlers in the arena who entertain the crowd. He's talking about men who take the word of God and stand before God's people and pretend to be preachers. And Paul here gives a comment about them. They are men who enter the flock of God to corrupt the shepherd's voice. Why do they do that? Because they were insincere people. But we can't do it, Paul says. We are not like them because we want to serve Him with sincerity. You know, that is the way to be a steward. Be a sincere servant of God. You not only adhere as a loyal servant of Christ to everything He has said, but you also serve Him and His words with greatest sincerity. If you were to ask me tonight, what would Jesus require of me to be a servant of His great name? I would say two things: faithfulness and sincerity. You may not have great talents. You may not have great eloquence. You may not have great wealth. You may not have great persona. You may not have great educational background. But we need men and women who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And they know whenever they utter a word, whenever they give a cup of water, whenever they stoop down to wash the feet of a saint of God, it has to be done with utter sincerity. And when they do it with that sort of genuineness, humility, meekness for the glory of His Savior, the Lord will be most pleased. BP Church, we need sincere men and women who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say a few things here. We don't need rich men. We don't need very educated people. We don't need handsome pastors. We do not need pretty singers. We don't need all these things that the world is after. Well, we are not saying if you are rich, you are not welcome. You're welcome too. But don't come in if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't put your hands on the things of God if you are insincere. Jesus Himself said, don't throw the holy things before the dogs. Will FEBC last or not is not ours to decide. It was an institution which was part and parcel of BP movement. And no other institution in the BP movement has been so integral in the propagation and defense of God's word. It is like almost taken from our hands. But there is something that no man can take away from our hearts. You know what is it? Sincere love for our Savior. They can take land and building, but they cannot take our affections for Christ. That's enough. We can let all things go if that's what God's providence would decide. You know, even if we have all these things, if there is no love for Christ in our heart, it's of no use, I tell you. It is of no use. If God would be pleased to give us young men and women who love Him with a sincere heart, we shall sing praises of Him relentlessly. Brethren, search your heart. Do you corrupt God's word with your words and actions? You know, we can't say we believe in the Bible to be perfect and then we act as though Bible is imperfect because we don't accept all that it says. We won't yield ourselves to it. We won't love the truth with all sincerity. It's of no use. I mean, we have a greater shame to bear if we defend verbal plenary preservation and live in utter sinfulness. We need pastors who discipline their lives so that they may not corrupt the Word of God by their life. We need modest, chaste, God-loving women in the church. We don't need too many people who go after the world. Men and women look like the world, talk like the world, dress like the world, sing the songs of the world. But on Sunday, they sing some praises. Even if you sing traditional hymn on Sunday, and the rest of the day, you sing the songs of Hollywood and dance according to the rhythm of the secular world, how can we say we sincerely love God? It cannot be. It cannot be. As my time is up, I must say one more word before I end. There's a great danger of us misbehaving in the church of God. Even those who regard themselves as ministers and stewards of God's mysteries. Let me just share with you quickly what is in my mind in the light of God's word. If we are men pleasers, we will not be good, faithful ministers and servants of God. We are commanded to preach the word. And there will be men in the congregation with itching ears, wanting us to say what they want us to say, to keep quiet when they live ungodly life, to smile even though they live in utter worldliness, say nothing. Recently, I read the story of a pastor whose sons came to him and said, or asked this permission whether they could go for a worldly entertainment that was in one of the concert halls in the city. And the father said, "Well, my dear boys, I hardly like this kind of thing, you know. I will show you later the objections that are within me. Nonetheless, I do not decidedly forbid you. I don't want to appear as though I'm a harsh father." Even before the dad completed that sentence, the boys ran out of the house and they went with their friends to enjoy what they want to say. You understand what it means? The father thinks it's not right. It's not good. It's not godly. Yet would not say it clearly. Left it to the children to decide without giving a clear guideline. This is not the way we become stewards of the mysteries of God. Paul said to Titus in Titus 2:15, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." What we need in our church is not only clear preaching of sound doctrines, but an insistence with all authority on godly living. I certainly believe, as a pastor of one of the BP churches, who have been around for at least 20 years in preaching God's word, as much as we are troubled by doctrinal errors, including unwillingness to hold on to God's preserved word, we are also troubled by too much friendship with the world. Too much carnality, too much sensuality, too much worldliness in our churches. And I tell you, this will make us miserable in days to come. Pastors will be rendered helpless because they and their families embrace the world. You will be too embarrassed to stand up. Our elders and their families, our deacons and their families, our members and their families will find it too embarrassing to take the name of Jesus because we didn't guard our young people. We let them loose. We let them go the way they want to go. This is not stewardship. This troubles me a lot. As much as it troubled me recently when the issue of preservation of the Bible came. May God have mercy upon us, that we might be reminded tonight that we are servants of Christ and not servants of the world. We have bid farewell to the world. Let us never name the name of Christ and live like traitors of Christ. Let us never come and sit at His feet and hear Him speak and then get out and kiss the world. This cannot be our calling. We must be faithful. We must be godly. We must be humble and fully yielding to our great God. Then we shall be found faithful at His coming. He's coming soon. Are you ready? He's coming sooner than we think. Let us be ready. For those who are unfaithful to His word, those who are friendly to the world, cannot be ready for His coming. Let us purify ourselves even as He is pure. Let's arise to sing our final hymn. Have I done my best for Jesus? Hymn number 405. Father in heaven, we once again praise your holy name for gathering us in this manner to be fed by thee. We pray that your people, whom thou hast called, will remain faithful to the very end. And we would love to see thy happy face, because thou art very pleased that we have served thee humbly and faithfully. We can't wait for that day when our blessed Master will reward us, because we want to say thank you, Lord, for counting us to be thy servants. And we will then place our crowns at thy feet to join that great crowd that is washed by the blood of Christ, to praise your glorious name for endless days. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.